KPBS On Demand is supported by Under the Sun Foundation, presenting the Candlewood Arts Festival in Borrego Springs, featuring temporary public art projects that engage community and place. March 7th, more at candlewoodartsfestival.org.
Welcome in San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, we sit down with one of San Diego's Black History trailblazers, Cheryl Morrow. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. As we kick off Black History Month, we're sitting down with trailblazers in San Diego who've built their own legacy while celebrating the contributions of community, past and present. I'm joined by Cheryl Morrow. She is the CEO of California Curl and owner of Morrow Publishing and the San Diego Monitor News Network. She's also the daughter of legendary Black hair care pioneer Willie Morrow, who popularized the Afro pick and invented the California Curl, later known as the Jerry Curl. Huge cultural contribution there. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Wow, I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here in studio.
Yeah.
So the theme of this year's Black History Month is a century of Black history commemorations. You've long championed your family's legacy while blazing your own path. So I'm curious how that theme resonates with you today.
You know, 2026 is the 60th anniversary of the Afrocomb commerce in North America. And so, it's always fresh to me. Just the whole Afro allure, the comb, the culture. So it's very fresh. 2026 is like a resurgence of what it means to own the comb that you use. So we have a campaign, My Comb Black Owned, in 2026. And so it's very important because, of course, I know we say that the comb with the fist is, it's not synonymous with Black people. It's not manufactured or it's not connected to even the Black wealth subject. But, you know, so 2026 is has started with a bang, to speak, yes.
Well, I want to talk a bit about your father's legacy and, you know, this important cultural history here. Your father came to San Diego in 59.
Yes.
Then made a name for himself as a barber. But take me back to before he built his empire. What was the landscape like for hair care services then for Black people?
It was, well, from his perspective, he is the son of sharecroppers. And so for him, it was like from a livestock grooming. And what you did on the plantation was take from either the land or farming, or because everything had to be what we do today, made in your kitchen. And so that is, I call it plantation beauty, which is I'm in love with all of the formulas on the plantation. Very sophisticated. One would think that they weren't. But, yeah, that's for him. It was really, you know, winemaking. And because winemaking also was cosmetics, winemaking is also medicine. So it was really a cross between food science and liquor science, obviously, wine and spirits, and then medicines. So that was how he started.
It's interesting how all that weaves together. Right. Well, I know he trained thousands of barbers and stylists in the military. Can you talk more about the impact he had there?
Well, I think that he brought that expertise, and he didn't learn that in the barber college. I think that that was just innate, and he began to... you know, Mr. Morrow was kind of a really, now that I think about it, he was self-taught, but some of the things that I don't know, he could not have known at that time. So, but he created this real how to handle Afro-textured hair, how to handle black skin. And he just created this art and science about it.
Yeah.
And so the military just fell in love. They had an audition, 200 barbers, and he impressed them with his innate knowledge that they had never heard before. And so they were floored, and they said, that's the guy.
Yeah. You mentioned skin care.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, he started in skin care because it was black men's ingrown hair issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so that dovetailed into beard and skin because, of course, black men also suffered from that. Then it grew into the hair, the uniform, and then women, and then their wives and children and family. Yeah.
Yeah, branched on out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's so wonderful. A street in Encanto was renamed after your dad last year. How
yes.
do you continue to see his legacy celebrated?
Driving up there?
Yeah. How do you see it celebrated across San Diego, his legacy?
It was, you know, thanks to our wonderful councilman, Henry Foster. He was just ecstatic. He wanted to be the council person that gets it, that got that done. And it was just a no-brainer for everybody. When I remember when we were going through the process, everybody was like, he doesn't have one already? And so it was welcomed with, I mean, just so much enthusiasm. And that's just a testament, you know, to what he gave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as prominent as he was on the global market, he really made sure that his community where he actually lived, paid taxes, actually where he loved the employees and all his friends and family, he made sure that he really made sure that was the most important people,
yeah.
even though he went, you know, on the global market.
Wow. Well, I mean, I know you grew up around your dad's legacy mm-hmm. and business, just immersed in it.
Yes,
I know
ma'am.
How that is. Is there a defining moment for you that really jump-started your own journey and entryway into the world of beauty and hair?
I always knew that I would do something, but it was a quick decision for me out of high school. I remember my high school counselor asking me, okay, so we have to get you ready to go to college and blah, 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 blah. And I looked at her and I said, would you take me through that conversation if my last name was Kennedy? And mm-hmm. I just remembered how that struck me. But the defining moment was when, because I left, I spent 19 winters in New York City, in Harlem. And
how
so,
was that?
Ugh,
culturally, like?
The best.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because I've always traveled, you know, with my dad and my mom. And so it was perfect for hair, but it's also perfect in your 20s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was glad to come back. I just didn't have a defining moment, really, but I knew I wanted to be a barber and a hairstylist. I always knew that.
Yeah. Well, your work in hair, mm-hmm. I mean, it took you to New York and it really took you all over the mm-hmm. world.
Yes.
What's been the most fulfilling part of that?
Gori Island.
Tell me about
Senegal,
it.
Senegal, West Africa.
Ah.
Yeah. Being able to land on the tarmac and see hundreds of hairstyling students meet my dad on the tarmac. Chanting his name, I knew that. I always knew it was special, but you don't understand when other people dictate back to you their perception of what you do. And so it that was really just so remarkable. You know. I don't know if anyone knows who has gone, but you know you cry all day, you know
mm-hmm.
every day, but just instilling some parts of the 400 years without a comb in the Women's Museum on the island, that was absolutely life changing.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, and I would imagine, too, that like every year that goes by, there's you process that moment differently.
Yes, absolutely.
With
there it is.
That's everything.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. You know, what's the landscape like right now for Afro hair care in San Diego? How have you seen it change over the years?
I think it's everything has synergy and has its own synergy, has its own frequency and its own time. I think the resurgence of how we understand textured hair, it has been a weird, and I will say weird, I'm using the word weird, 26 years.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Y2K natural is a complicated version of the original Afro hair natural movement. It's the daughter of the original. And it just did not produce the same success, the same ownership, the same... It didn't produce the same culture of and richness and ownership and entrepreneurship that that its mother did. And... the mother movement of 1964 to 1970 produced so many legacy brands, legacy companies. This one kind of diversified it in ways that injured it in such an economic devastating way. The way we talk about the thing, you know, how we talk about ourselves in today's market, you know, versus how we talked about ourselves in the 60s. Wow. It has gotten really convoluted in ways that are confusing. The consumer markets are different. And so, you know, my goal is to, you know, get us back on track, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. We could talk about that for an entire show, Cheryl.
No.
I got stories, war stories.
I was just inviting one of the producers to a show that we did just on Monday, and just how I gave him that Willie Morrow kind of flavor, and my business partner from Cleveland, Ohio, LaDosha Wright, she brought her flavor, you know, and man, it's we're gonna have to do some things over, you know.
Yeah. I mean, well, before we go, like, what do you see for the future of Black hair care and beauty? What are your hopes?
I am hoping to good question, but one thing comes to mind is for me to tell my story from a generational wealth perspective, and for us to not just talk about it because we want it. Talk about it because, you know, generational wealth or wealth generating is a science, and that is very deep into Black American roots.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about it in that kind of vein, but, you know, hair care is so... that the roots are so deep in, in talking about in your theme, a century, it surpasses, it goes further even the 20th century, starting with Madame Malone, which we're going to have a really great show, and it's going to be mind-blowing about the true relationship between Annie Malone and Madame C.J. Walker.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm from St. Louis, so I know all about Annie Malone.
There you go.
And Madam C.J. Walker, too, worked in Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
Listen, well, I can't wait to see this. And I know that we're going to definitely stay in touch to find out when that will show. And we'll obviously link to your
it's
information.
It's going to be a podcast, so yeah, I'll plug you
in.
Yeah,
which you host three of.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Well, it's been such an honor, Cheryl.
Likewise.
I've been speaking with Cheryl Morrow, CEO of California Curl and owner of Morrow Publishing and the San Diego Monitor News Network. Cheryl, thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. Can't wait to be back.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 Tundra designed to combine performance and comfort with up to 437 horsepower and 10-speed automatic transmission. See your Toyota dealer, the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.